Guru Nation, welcome to episode 864 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I interview someone who I can't believe I just discovered, Maya Pudi. She's the director at Sherman Clinical Research and Sierra Clinical Research, and founder of Curie, which is a tech company that I was in talks with, partnering with, but things didn't actually work out. And we decided, hey, you know what? Let's just continue networking together as site owners. And, you know, it's hard enough to find like cool people in the space that actually want to collaborate and network. So Maya's definitely coming to Save Our Sites conference next year in Oklahoma City. I'm going to try to get her on a panel, but she's an awesome site owner. She's been doing it for a while. And this interview was really fun for me to do. I think it's an instant classic, at least in my book. It's always interesting to hear from the audience versus what I think. But Maya is definitely a rising star, so everybody go connect with her. Her LinkedIn is underneath. We get into all kinds of stuff, how she got started, site operations, one of my favorite topics, human resources. So check it out. Hopefully you find something of value here. Really quick, I wanted to give a shout out to my sponsors. First one is Inato. Inato is an amazing tool where my site and other sites like me can get studies for free. Doesn't cost us anything ever. They never get involved in any other aspect of the trial, such as budgets or contracts. They let you do all that yourself. It's as if you didn't use another company. Sometimes you even forget, did I actually get this from Inato? And then I have to go back and look. Yeah, I did. So check it out, completely free. You do need experience to get selected for the studies. They are getting paid by sponsors. So sponsors are going to choose experience sites from here or sites with unique value props. So that's all you, the variables you. Go out and get it. Also, shout out to Creo. Creo came up a lot during this podcast. Creo, you're welcome, by the way. But I speak from the heart when I say I don't think I would use at this moment, anything can change, but at this moment, it's the best solution out there. Like one shop fits all for eSource, eReg, CTMS, patient database. There's so much e-signatures. They have a marketplace. They have a place where you can find vendors. It's so cool. It's amazing. I could not manage my site without Creo. And they're constantly innovating, which is why I said right now, with these technologies, the vendors know they got to constantly be innovating and continue to be site-centric. And Raymond and the team have put together a really good product. Only pay for what you use. Check it out in the show notes. Now enjoy the episode with Maya. It was a good one. Guru Nation, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, share. And if you're listening, do the same. I love bringing on fellow site owners. This is like the language I talk. This is a big segment of the audience. And we have Maya Pudi on. She's got two sites, two relatively big sites. She's going to be humble and modest and say they're not that big. I mean, I guess you're still considered small. But for all intents and purposes, she's one of the bigger small sites out there. How about that? And she's got two. Not just one, two. One is in Vegas, where she resides, right? You live there. And one in Dallas suburbs. Which part of Dallas again?
It's called Sherman. It is like 45 minutes north of Dallas.
North, so like Plano?
Well, yes, north of Plano, pretty much on the Oklahoma border. So I get...
Okay. You're approaching Brad Hightower territory.
Oh, gotta be careful.
But he's moving towards Arkansas.
Okay.
So yeah. He's expanding like... towards Arkansas. There's maybe we can talk about the markets between Vegas and Dallas, because I know in Dallas there's a lot of sites. Yeah. Vegas, I don't know. I was actually talking to Lana about Vegas. There's not that many sites, or there, like, what's the landscape there for research sites in Vegas?
Landscape is there's plenty of phase one. I don't do phase one, I do phase two through four. I would say there's maybe like a core of five that have been here maybe 5 to 10 years. And then there's always some popping up, crashing, that kind of that kind of community.
Nothing stable. Like there's like, how long has your site been open?
We've been
Around.
open since 2018. And in 2018, we were respiratory and just starting into cardiology and pandemic. A lot of things changed. We tried to diversify as much as we can, got into gastro, infectious disease, did one or two vaccine studies, but nothing crazy.
Are you a fan of the vaccine studies or no?
I mean, pros and cons. If you have that healthy population, right? I mean, you can get tons of people in Vegas that are going to be into making some quick cash, of course.
That's the place to do
But
it.
that's the place to do it. But I think maybe because of my background, I just like chronic disease, long-term studies where we're seeing them every month. I think it's
Me
a
too.
preference.
Me too. Yeah, I've only done one vaccine study in my career, and I think we enrolled like three patients, and other sites were doing like 100. So I like the chronic disease type of studies too, like the long-term trials.
Yeah, it's nice
So,
to ride.
how did you get started in this? Let's go back to like
Sure.
your origin story and what got you into research in the first place.
Oh. So my parents, I am a product of nepotism, Dan. That's the only way I can be this young and be doing this. So
Well,
my
I kind of am too, so.
Oh yeah, cool. My dad was a PI between 2001 and 2016. He's an internal medicine doctor, and my mom is an RN, and was a site director. So in South Carolina, that's where I grew up. They
South
had,
Carolina, okay.
yeah, all the way on the East Coast, they had five centers. So it's a big place for COPD, asthma, diabetes
Yep.
research. It was incredible for them. We had a center in like Atlanta, Greenville, South Carolina, Anderson, Seneca, Easley, and I basically each site was an hour away from each other, so we got a unique population.
Okay. And
And
then,
then
so you got started at that clinic.
yeah, so I went to NYU for college, got a master's, was pre-med minded, but always loved clinical research. I was, you know, that only child that was at their parents' place of work trying to help out and put holes for a paper and file, managing the QuickBooks. So when I graduated from my master's, I opened the Anderson Medical Research Center. I had never been a research coordinator before, so I was like taught by my dad and taught by my mom, who had gone through FDA audits with flying color sponsor audits. We're friends with ex-FDA auditors, so I really got a very painful crash course in clinical research. And it was just me and one other coordinator for 2 years, and then we started growing and doing around 10 studies, just actively
So this
enrolling.
was your own site when you
It's
started
my
your
own
own.
site.
I
And
see.
then 2016, I moved to Texas, and then 2018 in Las Vegas.
Okay. Why'd you
Yeah.
move to Texas? Did you have like any reasons to start a site there or?
My parents were soft retiring, so sold their clinical research companies there. And I mean, I knew some physicians in Texas. That was my main reason for moving, and another physician in Las Vegas, because I
Okay.
think like to start fresh all alone in the world is really, really tough. If you can infiltrate into a physician's office, that's gold. Because who can afford advertising in the beginning? It's really tough.
Shout out to patientace.com.
Yes, shout out to Patient Ace. I've heard they're very affordable.
Yeah,
And
we'll get you on it. Lana's expert. She actually knows much more about it than me, and I'm one of the co-owners, but she's very good at like following up on the leads. The next step is like automating the workflow, which it's like at advanced levels, but we'll get there.
yeah.
It sounds similar to my background, except my site was never like my dad was a PI and I was pre-med. He was a psychiatrist. And then him and like four other doctors wanted to get away from USC and do their own research. So they opened the one in Orange County. And that was right when I finished school and I wanted to get to med school. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what they do here, but just intern and it'll look good on your resume. So I
Yeah.
did. And when I did, there was like four other coordinators. And then week three or four, I was there. All the coordinators walked out. And I was like, what's going on? Where's everyone going? They're like, oh, we haven't got paid in like a month. We're out of here. And like
Oh.
it turns out the person my dad hired, him and these other doctors to run the site, were stealing money and
Oh.
making like another account to siphon the funds. So none of the staff were getting paid. So my dad told me, hey, you gotta go get a real job, or you can take over this, but there's nothing. Like, it's just there was two ongoing studies and no money. So I had to
Yeah.
work free. So that's how I learned. I learned and I knew nothing. When I
Oh,
was interning there, they had me go buy dry ice and get like McDonald's for the patients. So
yeah.
I wasn't doing real coordinating work. And then they all just left. And then I had to learn, like, I didn't even know who the patients were. We didn't have creos. So I would just sit in the waiting room and see if someone showed up.
No,
And
damn.
what study they were in. Like I would show them the bottles.
Yeah.
One is yours. And then I knew what
Damn, no.
they were in. So similar, but I mean, we both kind of got our start
Yeah.
family, which is kind of one of the cool things about this industry, because a lot of the CRAs I talk to, they get their kids involved, and same with site owners, it's a family thing. So I think there's something special about that. Family business in
Yes.
America still. But that's a cool way to get started. So then you went out on your own. You started your own, then you moved to Dallas and then
Yes.
Vegas 2 years after that. And now you still have both sites.
I do. I'm so lucky that before the pandemic hit, my accomplice, Morgan Whitson from the Sherman site, she was ready to take the reins as site manager in 2020. And that's the only way I could full time move out here and support the staff here.
Okay.
I lost them all in 2020, because they all had children at home and did not want to be in a patient-facing job. So I moved out here thinking I was just going to direct, oversee, manage. And it was like, okay, here's a bunch of NASH studies. And I was like, I've only done respiratory. So I learned really quick. And I think that's probably like the most useful experience I've had in my life, to just be alone in office, have nobody, just like you. And what can you do? And then,
Build
but
systems from there. So now, fast forward to today, your site, let's go with the one in Vegas and talk about Dallas after. But the one in Vegas, like, it's amazing how many studies you guys do a year. What was that number you told me?
I mean, my goal is to have like 10 to 15 actively enrolling studies a year. I think right now we're around 12, and
Yeah.
it's been hard. It's, I think I've learned to be more choosy as we've been maturing. And I mean, I would do a lot of Crohn's disease studies and ulcerative colitis, and spend a lot begging for patients from my PIs. And we've completely like turned the switch. We're going for the big things like NASH and COPD and asthma. But yeah, I'm much more decisive now, much more experienced in reviewing those protocols and CTAs and seeing like, does this work? I know we've talked about contracts and budgets offline before,
Yeah, there's
and
a huge need
yeah.
for that. I think eventually someone's gonna get there, but I think eventually multiple players will get there. It'll just every white space, and I was telling your husband, privately, every white space is like a vertical. Some are untouched, but ultimately, I think they're all welcoming of multiple players. But that tech stuff, unlike the site, tech is a deflationary force, right? Like, there's downward pressure on pricing the more the technology gets effective at doing its own job. And then you have new players come in, like your profit margins are my opportunity. Whereas sites, Sites actually benefit from all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then sites can grow and start doing more while spending less, like internally, because all these things get cheaper for sites to use too. So it's kind of interesting when you have both, right? Like you're in a unique, you and your husband are in a unique position because he's like the tech guy, you're the brick and mortar. And then me through my partnerships and YouTube and whatever, like we meet people. And so we can kind of have best of both worlds. Like you can develop the tech that you want to see, but then you also like are benefiting from the deflationary pressures of the market. And
Yes.
so these things get cheaper. Like Creo, we use Creo, we love it. But ultimately it's going to seem expensive compared to like new players. And I don't know who you use. I think you use Realtime.
Real time, yes.
Yeah. Same thing. I mean, all these things are going to drive prices down, and ultimately we'll get to like free eSource, free CTMS, and that's not good for the tech vendors, but it's good, great for the sites. And our budgets are not going down as sites, they're going up because still hard to get the patients, still hard to service the patients, and all that stuff. So
100%.
wanted to get your thoughts on that, like how the industry's changing and what you've seen so far.
In terms of like vendors for sites kind of thing.
Everything like managing your site,
Oh gosh.
you know, because 2018, I mean, that's a lot of time to see change, especially with COVID in the middle. That kind of inspired a lot of change.
I'm gonna try to not be negative, but I feel like it's so easy to complain
Oh,
sometimes.
complain. Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, I think protocols, inclusion, exclusion have gotten like out
Ah,
of
yes.
like impossible is generous, especially for like COPD and asthma studies. Like I've literally seen them from 2016 to
Lana's got
2024. Lana, you
one
want
starting soon. COPD.
asthma, COPD.
Oh yeah, and then Luis got asthma. Well, they're the primary on each of those, but yeah, they're tough. I tell you guys, they're tough. We haven't started yet, but IE is tough now.
Even if it looks easy, I found that, protocols are changing rapidly more than ever before than when you're conducting a trial. Like I feel in 2018, there'd be like maybe three versions in 2 years, and now it's like a new version every couple months. Like it's a lot of regulatory to keep up with than ever before. I feel like throughout the pandemic, we saw like changes in monitoring, going for those remote monitoring measures, differences in their training pre-pandemic and post. A lot of young people coming in as the older groups get burnt out. So I don't know if that's moving in the right direction, but
Yeah, but the pro of that, because I feel the same way. I have never met a site owner that likes difficult IE criteria. The pro is that becomes a barrier of entry for other people. And it sort of keeps you like protected in a way, like a moat. That's your moat, especially if you already figured it out. Like it does become easier. And as these tools get better, like of course, I own it, so I love it. But Patient Ace, if you get enough leads, doesn't matter how crazy the study is, you'll get someone to randomize. And I do think the budgets have, if you know what you're doing, the budgets have adjusted for that complexity too.
It's true. It is true. They've opened up. They've been more accepting of your write-ins that are site specific. And that's what it is also really good about, like being a part of like a consortium or like some type of site network. You get to share those ideas, what's worked for you.
Are you guys part of one or no?
Well, just SCRS. And then
Oh,
I'm
okay.
going to my first SOS meeting.
You gotta do SOS. Yeah, forget about all the SCRS stuff. The SOS, private equity, I think, runs SCRS.
That makes
Yeah.
sense.
They're not site owned. Not anymore.
Attract.
Shout out to Christine Pierre. Rest in peace there, you know, when she passed away. But I interviewed her back in the day, and she had like pure intentions for SCRS and there's still good elements of it, but it's gotten a little too big, I think, for actually affecting change at the site level. And that's why I think we created SOS.
I love it. I'm excited to go to my first
But
one.
like as actual like site network, you're not a part, you're
No,
independent.
I am independent.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of sites now, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about should you join a site
Interesting.
network? Should you start a site network? That's kind of where I'm headed towards is like, if all these private equity want to talk, why would I sell to a bigger group? Why not you give me the money and I'll expand it? That's like more the route I want to go. Whereas other site owners, maybe they're ready to retire or something. Maybe they just want to become a cog in the wheel. I don't like working for other people.
I don't think I can't. Yeah, I don't think
I'm unemployable for a
anyone wants me to work for them. I'd be difficult. I don't think I take direction very well unless it's in the form of a protocol or the FDA, but I don't know. I mean, you mean, of course, we develop all, Rob and I develop all these tools to make it easier for sites to grow and maintain the things that are important, data integrity, quality control kind of things. So it does, you know, in my mind, I'm literally making it easier for myself to grow. So it's like, when is that going to happen? It's just going to be timeline for me, but I still have like a bigger passion of just trying to provide for sites. You know what I mean? There's not much. I mean, you've opened my eyes to a lot of free things. That I've been trying out, but I think that's more of where my passion lies, like making more tools for site, whether it's because I hate, you know, I sometimes I read a protocol or a new FDA guidance and I'm like, this is a setup. How are we supposed to implement this? Why don't you just create this matrix or training log or, you know, the exact SOP of what you're requesting rather than these guidances and mind's being changed. So yeah, I like to make tools. That's kind of my thing.
And what kind of tools have you started using at your site that like what are some things that you've already done with Rob that who for those that don't know, you should get to know him as well. I've had a few Zooms with him and super smart dude, but programming background and now AI is the next big thing. But what are some of the tools you've kind of developed that has helped your site?
So like Rob's background, which is Silicon Valley minded, customer is king. We should cater to them, which I love. I am the customer, and how he has really adopted a tribe of like AI engineers to make whatever I want. I'm pretty spoiled. So we have made some products. Number one was like eligibility matching. I was burnt out, Dan, by reading tons of medical records. And you know how lengthy those are. And to be left with like duds at the end of the day, complete waste of my time, complete waste of the coordinator's time that I'm trying to save so they can do visits and bring in an income. So, first thing we created was that upload a protocol. The AI can see and recognize and evaluate inclusion, exclusion, prohibited meds, and then uploading a patient medical record, whether it's handwritten, unstructured data, or structured, it will do a full inclusion, exclusion match and provide reasoning. That was our big thing that we talked about at SCRS this year. And then we've just kept the ball rolling from there. Right now, we're working on like a paper consent form checker for those sites that are still doing it old school and staying strong with paper consenting and just developing a way to automate that process of creating an ICF log and checking what versions have been signed, need to be signed, even like dates that are incorrect or, you know, fields that are missing that should have been filled out.
Is that like a tool you're actually using, like the this ICF checker?
Yes, as of literally this week. So I'm
That's
running the
helpful.
beta right now and just scanning, scanning, scanning.
That's helpful because we've had a few close calls of like patients, and I always tell the staff, I mean, my biggest thing is like make sure we know what version we're on at all times, especially. And we just switched like last week from because we have four staff, four coordinators, one lead, and everyone was kind of just collaborating on every study. But we just switched it to where, and especially with the new studies we're getting, where I have somebody as the primary CRC for every trial, so at least that person should pay attention to like IRB expiration, ICF updates, those kind of things, because those are very easy to miss when you're busy. Like It's not like you're always told, hey, your ICF's been amended. Make sure everyone signs it. Like you're
You
just supposed
know.
to know somehow.
Yeah. Like our SOP is we check every Monday, every Friday, the IRB portals for everything. And then if a patient visit is happening
It
that
was
day,
Monday, it
we
was
check
Friday.
that morning. So it's the study coordinator's responsibility. You have a patient coming in for our COPD study, you check the IRB portal, you make sure that consent form is the one. And then I'm also double checking when the visit is over because I am
Wait, so
crazy.
you're the QA or lead CRC or what?
I do QA like when the visit is done before the patient leaves the building, kind of a thing, like good Alcoa check, ICF check, making sure it's the right version. But it is the SC's responsibility. If you're doing a visit that day, you check the IRB portal before you do a visit.
Ah, before every visit.
Before every visit, I'm not
Lana's
playing
listening. Very,
that
future Vegas resident,
game.
Lana Stevens, listening intent, close, very closely.
I
That's
mean,
how a dance is.
well, especially with like COPD asthma, you're on your computer checking eDiary compliance probably to print out that report for the visit. One more website. Go to the IRB website. I'm done. You can sleep at night.
I love that you're on because they hear from me all the time, but it's good to hear
Amazing.
the same
If
thing.
not, you get long checklists you have to do that I like throughout the day. I'm like, oh, I gotta do this. Oh, I gotta do that. And then it doesn't stop. Doesn't stop.
And she's our admin too, because we don't have an admin. We're in between admins. Our other admin went back to nursing school, so she's doing the recruitment, at least following up with the leads for right now. We'll eventually hire an admin again soon.
So at your admin role is like a recruitment specialist
Yeah,
role?
admin is like, well, Lana's the head of recruitment and CRC. Everyone's like, I go for their different affinities. Like Luis seems to be, well, Luis wants to be a monitor and he seems to be pretty good at like QA type of stuff, but he's also a CRC. And then Gracia, we're trying to figure out for her. Right now, she's managing our TikTok because she likes TikTok.
Got
She's in that age where that's like a big thing, but. We had an admin. His job was to follow up on all the leads coming through from all the referral sources. So our organic ones through our Instagrams, YouTube website, and then through Patient Ace and all the other referring
Power study
stuff,
thing.
like when a sponsor hires Power or Study Kick or whatever.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to keep up
I'm
with
not
all
gonna.
these things because it's day, it's every hour or something else.
That's interesting.
You need an admin. I think you need an
Because
admin. And then
I'm an
we learned a lot with this admin in the summer. And Lana was in charge of the admin. So
Gotcha.
his name was Anthony. He used to be the MA at the clinic we worked with. So I knew he was like not a bullshitter. And I knew we didn't really need one, but I wanted to learn a lot from having him here. And he did help us a lot. Like he'd scheduled, he was on it. And there was still a lot of free time that he could have been entering data. We didn't have him do that, but we learned for the future. He could have entered data. He could have bought dry ice. He could have done a lot of other things too that these guys are doing. So the next admin we hire, they're going to do a lot. They're going to be busy. Like
How do you
just
guys do medical records?
Creo is
Like,
a one-click button to retrieve, which is pretty cool.
excuse
Yeah,
me.
not to like steer you away
My
from
heart stopped.
Creo. Creo, you guys got to renew my sponsorship, guys. Ray, we got to talk. Creo has this button. Once
No.
you consent, actually, Luis was like the best one at figuring that out. But once you consent the patient, you put like their zip code, and within a 200-mile radius, they'll look for the records.
No
And you pay like $30 a retrieval, and only if you get
Wow. And like, how successful is this for
it.
you? Like,
Sorry, real time. Can you guys still sponsor SOS though, please?
like, how successful is it though? Like, I'm assuming
Very
you're doing
successful.
a
It's too successful.
COPD,
Here's
like,
why. It's too success. They send you like 100 pages back, and you could limit. I only want like meds, or I only want,
medical.
yeah, the basic stuff. You still get like 50 pages, 100 pages, and. At some point, monitors are like, well, this is way too much. They're going to be like excluded for a whole bunch of stuff. So you really just want like the most recent things. And But you can just edit that yourself, only what's appropriate for the study, and then you can change your SOP. And you're only uploading in Creo what is relevant. You're not uploading their entire medical history. Like, that's, first of all, it's not needed. That's PHI debatable whether that's even okay. So, but yes, record retrieval is like not a problem anymore. And when you do psych, there's not really a need for that because a lot of it is done in real time, like through the diagnostic interviews or through the central raters. Or when you do things like diabetes, doesn't matter what records you get or don't get, if their A1C is not a certain level, they're not in. So records are not as important for the studies we do, but it seems like for the ones you do, they are.
They are, because I do COPD exacerbation studies, so I'm so curious, Lana, is your are your new COPD and asthma studies, are they, are you needing historical exacerbations, or do you know?
Not yet,
Not
but
yet.
I will get back to you on
Let
that.
me know how
Are
that's.
gonna need that. Luis is the COPD lead CRC, and he has the papers I see right in front of him. But yes, there are, you need documented proof, but that's gonna be Creo. And
Well,
our PI is our PI, those patients will come from his database too. So if they're not from patient ACE, if they are from patient ACE, we use the Creo one click button. If they are from his database, we don't need it. We could save $30 and then we already have the records.
wow. I wish you hadn't told me, because it's gonna keep me up at night.
I think real time is good. Listen, real time, we want access as a sponsor at
They're gonna
Heliport.
offer this soon.
Yeah, let them offer it. Technology is a deflationary force. And that's when they offer it, Creo is going to have to charge like $20. And then sites benefit off of all this.
Yeah, we do love it.
You just hired a site director.
Site manager here for the Las Vegas office, Sierra.
What's the difference? You're the site director still?
I'm the site director, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, site
Yes, I
manager, I
am
see
too.
it as
Okay.
more ops, like on the ground every day.
So, like a lead CRC, or do you have a lead CRC?
I have lead CRCs.
Oh, you have lead CRCs.
Yeah, so my expectation is like
Wait, how many
every
staff do you have? Let's go.
I
Site name. Lana, by the time this podcast is over, will already apply
she'll be here in my office.
to your website. Lana,
Oh
no.
no, okay.
You won't do
Not yet. Give us like 2 more years with Lana.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Okay.
So I have three full-time lead study coordinators. So I like to kind of like you divide the studies up, but everyone is cross-trained, so they're backups for everybody. And then I have a as-needed phleb, who's
Bottom. Oh, Fleb. Okay.
phlebotomist. Yes, she's incredible. Like, used to work in like hospital settings. Like, there's to get blood out of a rock. Like, she's incredible. And
Dang.
then two part-timers who, one of them, we both work on recruitment in different ways. One of them is kind of like your admin role, but she also gets medical records for us. And then the other one, I'm scared to say negative things about real time now, but the other
Real time's
one,
great. We want you as a sponsor, SOS. We love you. I would switch in a heartbeat.
the other one is kind of cleaning up all of our patient database, like medical history entry, medication entry, so we can really use real time to search for patients. Because when we migrated in October, not everything came through or came through accurately. So
Okay.
she is doing like data mining and corrections.
Okay. That makes sense. It sounds similar to what we have. We have one lead CRC. So I'm the site director. We have one lead CRC who's kind of in charge of the other CRCs because she has like 1 more year of experience than everyone, maybe a year and a half. And then we have the three primary CRCs for each study we have. Each one is like doing 3 or 4 studies at a time. And then everyone else helps. Everyone else is like the number two for that person on their study. So it's very similar. I think it's almost identical, other than our admin does more lead management and eventually they'll do data entry.
Yeah.
So
data.
site manager being they, so your site managers look over just about everything. So she's right, he or she is right below you
Right
as.
below me. And so I haven't had a site manager here until now. So I'm kind of like giving up everything. There's a lot of cord cutting happening. It's a painful experience for me because I'm a control freak and a Virgo. But yes. So yeah, she's gonna be in charge of QC, you know, being that recruitment rein holder, like seeing what options are flourishing, when we need to get more ads, what types of ads. You know, also getting onto the doctor's cases. That's a weekly thing that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, just
If
like
you let a doctor like just chill, they're not gonna do much. You gotta be on them.
you
I always
gotta
tell these guys,
be.
don't let go to your doctor, text him. They're all heat right now. Text him, make sure they're doing the, you know, shouldn't wait too long.
It's tough. It's tough because it's like depending on the person, they like being text or want to be, see you in person or want you to get them a cup of coffee, or
Let a
don't.
monitor when a coordinator get them a cup of water.
Yeah, I mean, something new I started was like putting posters up and like, you know, being a little more demanding about like you've got to have these conversations in your clinic.
You're putting posters in, like reminders to your staff?
No, like posters in the doctor's offices to remind doctors send me
Okay.
a patient. Yeah.
Oh, like refer us patients.
Refer.
Yeah, no, you need, yes,
We're
that you
reminding them what studies we have and what that basic IE is.
need. Yeah, we're not doing very good at that, but each one doesn't have that many, so they kind of know. But as we grow, that's going to be a problem because I could see even some of our more experienced PIs, when a monitor's here, they always ask, what study is this for? And I'm like, I've already told you, like, every time you ask me the same thing. But they need that reminder, okay, and then it starts clicking because they're just looking at labs. They don't know all the details of everything. You know, they're just checking lab safety and all that stuff.
Putting it all together with someone in front of them who is not a study coordinator, yeah, it's tough. I understand. Ours too, they're like that.
Well, they're all the same, I think, at the end of the day. Any questions you want to ask Maya? She's basically going to give you the same answer as I tell you, but just you could hear it from someone else, I think. Maybe we differ on some stuff. I don't think we
Maybe.
differ on too
Oh, I
much.
think we literally set our offices up the exact same way.
Yeah, without knowing anything about, I just met Maya last month
Okay.
through tech, through her husband.
Oh,
We were
gotcha.
planning on some stuff, but it didn't work out, but we can still collaborate and things like that.
I'll see you in a couple of years.
See you in a couple of years. Hey,
Ask me
you could be hiring in a
that.
couple of years in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. You already got your next job secured. All
Okay.
right, cool. Yeah, this whole thing about building the site network is more intriguing to me now than ever before. Maybe that's something you want to look into. Now, are your business separate? Like your site in Texas and your one in Vegas?
They are
Okay.
they're not connected, and I mean that is just something my parents taught me. I don't know if that is still accurate today, but the reasoning is I mean they are independent, you know, not an SMO, but I've heard that like if it is an SMO, God forbid the FDA audit anyone, no one wants to have to deal with that. But then the auditing is contagious and goes to all of the
Yeah.
sites and
Have you
ends in
been
one end of the
audited?
saga. By the FDA, no, I'm knocking on wood. I've gone
I
through,
just did myself.
don't hear us speak your name, but I've gone through plenty of sponsor audits, and that is enough. That is enough.
We haven't had one of those yet here either. One of these days, I mean, but they give you time. The sponsor audit's not quite as bad as
Yeah.
FDA. At the end of the day, the sponsors want you to clean up your work. FDA doesn't care. They just want to catch you,
Yeah.
which is the main difference. Yeah, you know that auditing is contagious. I could see that. I mean, site networks in a way. I don't even not even sure what a site network honestly is because, you know, how is that not an SMO? And I mean,
I
it's
thought it
absurd.
was.
Yeah, but they're not because, like, if you call a site network, like let's say Alcanza or Velocity, I mean, I guess the only difference is SMOs used to go into doctors' offices and use their SOPs to get that doctor doing research, right? And then they would manage it. And then that bubble popped. Site networks are like more established sites that join forces.
I see.
But then over time, they like merge their SOPs too. So, and the brand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really no different, but whatever it's called, I'm more
You're
intrigued.
interested.
Yeah.
You're thinking
Or,
about it.
I mean, there's something like when you reach your max, I think we're nowhere near our max potential just in Yuma. I don't think we need to expand anytime soon. But if the money's there, like they're literally asking you to grow it and the market's hot, you should look into it. But I think once you reach your max where you're at or close to like how big you can grow, that's a decision of like, do you just want to sit on it and let it run itself, or do you want to actually expand? And
Yeah.
ultimately, that's a decision every site owner needs to make on their own. But it's kind of where I'm leaning towards right now.
Gotcha. Cool. I love it. So, who does your QA there? Is it Lee? Or who's that in the corner? Who's doing the ads?
Luis is, I think
Lee.
Luis is going to be doing it soon, but it's the lead CRC, Katie. And I think it's going to be a combo of her and him slowly, like gradual shift. We've had like remote because of Creo and everything's remote. We've had like remote QA people in the past. My first employee was actually Samantha Anderson from, she now works at Dana-Farber in Boston, but she didn't even live in Yuma and she was our first employee. She was basically QA, data entry, everything when I started here. So we've had like CRA Academy interns, CRC Academy interns do remote QA, but then they end up going to get hired. And, I think I would want someone to be local to do that, to be in person as well. And in Yuma, it's hard to find those people because no one has research experience here. So you just got to develop it yourself. The hospital does have a department, and we're basically the same size as them. As like they have like four people also. And I mean, we've interviewed a few of them, but I don't know. They have their own bad habits too that they bring.
That's yep. I always like to train them from scratch, but I mean, it takes a
Yeah, I
long
mean,
time.
everyone's gonna develop bad habits anyways. You might as well just have them naturally occur, then just import them from somewhere else. And now you got like everyone doing the same thing.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a realistic way to look at this. But all right. So what's next for you? Are you gonna expand in Vegas, like more therapeutic areas? We're trying to do cancer here, but
Oh my
I've been
gosh.
trying forever. There's one group that I know I can get, but I don't know. Somebody voicemail. We played phone tag. Remember that lady?
Which one?
Southwest Oncology.
Oh yes, never got back to me.
Never got back. But we got busy too, so yeah.
What's next? Definitely growth, always in both sites. I mean, trying to keep that database cultivated and flourishing is kind of what I'm seeing now. Like patients that we had 2018 to 2020, they are no longer active. So,
Hold on. You want a huge growth area? I don't think you're doing psychiatry, right?
no,
You're in Vegas. You're like in
I don't
prime ground zero for psych issues.
know.
Like you got everything there. Psych. But that's gonna explode your head.
It?
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Lana's good at that.
There we go.
I
Perfect.
love
She's
psych.
the lead CRC on our two psych studies and then get a C on the other one. So yeah, psych is a always in demand. Psych, when the obesity stuff like screening ended right before summer, a little bit after our other diabetes one ended, psych kept us busy in the summer. And now respiratory is going to start. But psych's always, I think psych is pretty consistent. Like, you know how other indications go through ebbs and flows? Psych, not as much as oncology, but it's almost as consistent as oncology, and especially when you include Alzheimer's and things like that.
Yeah, what kind of psych are we talking?
Right now, we're just doing depression, bipolar. We could get into some skits. And then Alzheimer's is always there, but I'm turning them down right now because we're kind of a little too busy. I would like to have an admin and one more coordinator to do like an Alzheimer's study.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of work.
You really got me thinking.
I know. Well, that's what I do, and that's what the podcast does.
Love it. I do love it. Incredible.
But we gotta maybe get you on a panel at SOS. Did you get your early bird tickets yet?
Yes, I have.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
We're
Make
excited.
sure you book a room at the Omni, no Airbnbs.
Yeah, 100%.
All right,
We're
because we're in the
gonna
whole 380 rooms, so we gotta get those. Okay, thank you. Thank
I
you.
think I might already be booked. I'll ask Rob, but
Ah, perfect. We'll think about a panel, maybe something tech related. Because you've been building your own tech, which is, you're like unique because your husband is a tech guy, like literally can build what you want.
anything I want.
Kind of
And
cool.
it is really cool. And then, as he's talking to sites or as I'm talking to sites at these conferences, we're taking any custom engineering requests. So we just
That's true.
finished an MR redaction tool for one site. Of course, I make the most requests. So we're working on a source QC tool because if you've done that, well, I see off is in beta testing, but source QC is next for me. And then we could have something that made source along the way. That would be great too. And yeah, a lot of new things down the pipeline coming. Yeah.
That's good. Well, we're happy to have you as part of SOS Nation, and I'm glad I got to meet you. Can't believe I didn't hear about you prior to meeting your husband. I didn't even know that you had sight and you're doing like 12 studies a year. That's not bad.
Not bad. I keep my head down, just trying to trudge through it.
You don't really post on LinkedIn or you're not active on there at all.
No, I
I don't
need
even
to
know if we're
be.
connected. Do you even have one?
I do. I think you're connected.
Well, then Maya's link is underneath this video
Thank you. Thank you.
and in the show notes if you're listening. Anything else you want to add? What do you think is the next growth area for what research sites would actually pay for? Because
Pay.
research sites have a long wish list. And then when you ask them, okay, well, would you pay this for it? They say no. So,
We are so cheap though, Dan. If we can't get
patience.
the
It's really
sponsor to
just
pay for it,
patience. It boils down to patience.
but if we can't get the sponsor to pay for it, we never want to pay for it. So,
Well,
but
and the sponsor will pay for it to a certain point, but then you got to keep like passing the bill to the next sponsor. And then, it just becomes annoying.
yeah. But hopefully there will be some way to get all of those patients that aren't responding to ads. There's we all for when we're ever doing presentations for Curie, we always say like only 3% of eligible patients in the US actually make it onto the study they're eligible for. So I'm always thinking about like how do you get to that number? Do I need to like outreach to doctors who have never done clinical research before? Do I like what does that look like? So
Well, I think you need a psychiatrist. And there's
for
plenty of them
multitude
in
reasons.
Vegas. There's plenty in
Lovely.
Vegas. And
If you
then
have connect, I'll take it.
in Vegas, I don't. We almost started a site in Vegas in 2016. Me and Tiffany Bennett, who's our CRA Academy instructor. And we had an OBGYN, I believe. A GI, but we never really got started. And then Tiffany moved to Atlanta. So Vegas is like always, and I feel like that's the issue with Vegas, like kind of like a transient city. And you never have like stability, at least for research clinics. Like I've seen them come and go in Vegas, but I've never seen them actually stay.
Staffing is tough too. Like it all goes hand in hand because we have like the med school here, the PA school, dental, like there's school and there's tourists and then the people that support the tourists. So it's not
Yeah.
like tough.
Yep. I think we need to just ex like share study leads and things like that. But absolutely, we'll work together, help each other grow. Lana, anything else? Your future boss right here. So just be nice. Okay.
I could be a lot of help.
Yeah, she can.
I
Yeah,
love
I'll give you a letter of recommendation, but it will not be valid until
2026.
September 19th, 2026 at the earliest. Early.
Yay. All right.
Until then, it's not valid.
That's too funny.
All right, everybody go follow Maya right now. Her LinkedIn's underneath. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So much fun.